All right, everybody shut up. I said shut up. Now, are you ready to play the game?
No.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
Yeah, yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall, trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
Foul ball.
All rep, no physical contact. Bounce back, demonstrate, invincible bomb raps. Not no hustler, no player, or speaking no crime crap. I'm vocally trying to score before my time lapse.
Good evening, Pelicans fans. Welcome to another Pelican Plunge. Another, would you believe it? I think we've done more episodes in the playoffs than we have in the regular season. Would you believe it or not? Joining me as ever tonight is Jason. Jason, long-time season ticket holder, getting ready for the return playoff games. How excited are you, Jason?
I'm so excited. First off, I like how you removed the suffering after the long-time Pelican season ticket holder. So
you're not suffering anymore.
No, that's kind of the mood we're in. But yeah, it feels, other than being incredibly tired because these games are late, it's great.
You think they're late?
Well, yeah, it's, I know how you guys, I don't know, you know, how you guys watch the Saints games, the afternoon Saints games.
Yeah. And also joining us now, regular on the show, Mr. James Baker. James, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. I'm good. Just been to the gym this evening. Horrible hour of cardio, and now ready to talk some basketball.
Excellent. Well, I say we are now recording this after game two, which the series is split one apiece between us and the Suns. What many, even on this network, didn't think would happen after listening to the pre-draft or the free agency show, as Jeff would call it. But yes, not many would have thought we're at this place, but we knew we could be here. James called it, to be fair to him. He said the series would be split coming back to New Orleans, and that's what's happened. So I think we'll just start with the first game, really, just to get it over and done with. And I think we all had a discussion about it, didn't we? Really, like, we kind of gathered this could have quite happened. This would have happened. We could have quite easily lost this game because simply the two emotional rollercoaster games that we've just been playing, and the Suns not playing at all for a week. It was bound something like this to happen for the first game.
And yeah, I mean, you could just tell from the get go they were a little shell shocked. None of the shots were falling in, even a large number of shots around the rim. That was kind of the big thing. How many close looks we missed, and all the kind of factors went into it. And despite all that, despite playing one of the worst games that they played in a while, they only lost by 11, and they actually had it to 6 until Chris Paul went nuts.
Didn't give up, and that's the best thing about it. That's the best thing I took away from that game.
Yeah, that's been their theme this year, and it was encouraging despite the loss. You felt like, okay, this, because a lot of the pundits picked sweep or Suns in 5, and you just kind of knew after you saw that, well, we can hang with them. We just got to get a few bounces to go our way.
And we certainly did that the next game, didn't we, James?
Yeah, we did. I mean, I think Jason hit the nail on the head talking about the first game. The Suns are a playoff, battle-tested in the playoffs. You know, they've got experience throughout the roster of the playoffs, whereas the Pelicans don't. There's very little playoff experience. And I think the occasion probably got to the team was it Sunday night? Sunday night? I can't remember. Game one. Then probably got to them game one. Now, look, you know, you talked about the open shots that were being missed. The Suns have got a great defense, and they contest every single shot. And even if they're not contesting it in your face, there's somebody near you when you're taking the shot. And I think that the Pels were rushing a little bit. They were, you know, what was it they say about the quarterback when they see ghosts? You know, the way that the Suns defend, they are very aggressive. And it was a surprise, but yeah, whatever ills there were from game one were certainly cured for game two.
Yeah, Phoenix has a lot of length they can throw at you, and they really hounded
Giggity.
both Ingram and McCollum, the main facilitators for the team, and you know, Jack's kind of struggled. A few other players, other than the rookies, a few other players struggled, and they just, you know, whether it's the exhaustion of playing the two high stakes play-in games, and then a well rested Phoenix, it was very almost nearly impossible to win that game and still be in it late. And it took a Herculean effort from Chris to get the win. Again, that's why we felt positive going into last night's game.
Yep.
Yeah, and last night was just fantastic. And, you know, we do our ritual over here, James, where we wait, because the game's not on TV over here, is wake up, see what the score is, check the highlights and watch the post game, etc. Yeah.
And then me and you will exchange WhatsApp messages at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's just, it is a bit mad. But I just, it just done my head in. We weren't getting any credit at all for that win last night. Any credit. They all put on Booker going out.
And that's one thing I did. So the first round games are actually on. So they're on the main network, TNT or ESPN, whoever it is. And last night it was TNT. But the local, the Bally Sports,
where Bally Sports, yeah,
Joel Myers and Antonio Daniels, they're actually doing the games for the first round. So I watched the game on that broadcast, but then I kind of wanted to see what the TNT inside the NBA crew were going to say. And yeah, they talked about Ingram a little bit, but at the end of the day, it was all about Booker. And that's kind of all you're seeing today is all Devin Booker, despite the fact that we've been without our either best or second best player all season. Nobody, it's no excuses. It is what it is.
So who's the host of the Shaq, Kenny Smith?
Ernie Johnson.
Ernie Johnson, that's it. So he was trying to move the conversation onto the Pelicans for about 10 minutes. Charles Barkley, I know he used to play for Phoenix, right? I know he won MVP when he was playing for Phoenix and, you know, and things like that, got him to the finals. But all he wanted to talk about was the only reason that the Suns didn't win or the Pels beat them was because Devin Booker went out injured. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I know Booker went sicko mode last night, but the Pels were within 2 points when he went off injured.
It was a 5-point game at half.
Was it five? Yeah.
So that was halftime, but then he only attempted one shot for the first 6 or 7 minutes in the third quarter leading up to his injury. So it's not like he did anything before the injury, and he played over half of the third quarter.
But, you know,
exactly.
He was in the game, and the Pels were keeping up with him. And if he hadn't have gone sicko mode in the first, was it 31 points at the half, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Pels would have been – the Pels. I mean, he was hitting threes from everywhere.
I mean, I love Barkley. I think he's one of the best guys on TV. So it was disappointing to hear him completely, you know, have that as his main argument. And yeah, like you said, Ernie kept trying to point out the Pelicans, and Shaq talked a little bit about Ingram, but yeah, they didn't talk as much about the
Ingram. Yeah, I was gonna move on to Ingram next. Like, he's just announced himself fully, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, so many of those so many of the shots are just, it's not like they're easy shots that he makes.
No.
But he's able to find a spot. And
it reminds me of KD.
Even, you know, some of the little pull-up jumpers, and I feel like he hadn't shot a lot of threes lately, but he did make a few last night, which were big. But he was also playing facilitator. You know, he found a lot of, I mean, he had, 10 assists, 9 assists last night?
He was one assist away from a triple-double. Or was one rebound away from a triple double? Yeah. I can't remember which way around it went.
Yeah, he had 11 rebounds, 9 assists. So he's one assist away.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that was his coming out party.
It's his first ever playoff series, man, against the best team in the league at their place.
And he's still just 24 years old.
Yeah, he decided last night that he was going to take over that game, and he took it over. But the thing about him, though, is he just. He never looks flustered when he's playing. Always looks calm. Always looks, and I don't know whether that's, you know, that's just his way. But he just, he was in the zone last night, and it was like he didn't care he was in the zone. He was just like, well, my job is to put the ball in the hoop. I'm just going to keep doing it until they stop me.
And it, sorry,
it does,
Jason,
it does seem like he's able to kind of pick his spots when, like, he can sense when the team needs him to get the bucket, and he can sense when to kind of get up the other guys involved. It's just part of the growth process that he's had.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
it's superb. And also, like, you can see CJ's vet presence, exactly the reason. The exact reason we brought Larry Nance and CJ into this team. And you can see it paying off already.
Yeah, and clearly Ingram was the main guy, but they got contributions from everybody last night.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody.
Jackson
Jonas
Hayes
Jonas
came back with a better game.
Hayes with a good game. Jonas with a standard double-double. McCollum almost had a triple-double himself. And then you had Herb Jones with 14. You had Murphy and Alvarado hitting big shots, big three-pointers. Yeah. Just everybody was active. This team is definitely this team's together. I mean, they believe.
And it seems like Jose Alvarado is now getting Devonta Graham's minutes.
I mean, Graham still got some minutes last night.
He got seven last night.
He hit a couple of big shots.
He did hit a floater.
It was one, was it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's that line. 7 minutes, no rebounds, 2 assists, 2 points.
Okay. I feel like he shouldn't be getting minutes over Alvarado.
Alvarado hit 17. It's the first time I've seen Alvarado in an important game with more minutes than Devonta Graham.
Oh, no, no. Alvarado's gotten more minutes than Graham for a while, it seems.
I think so. I might be wrong there, but I think
you are.
Yeah, I think you are. But it's almost to the point where should Graham even be getting any minutes? And it is some of the loyalty that Willie has to him, I guess.
Tony Snell corner.
Right? I mean, I guess that kind of goes into managing the players' egos and getting the team to follow you, but he hasn't really earned any of these minutes, especially with how well Jose's played. He hasn't earned any time over Jose. Really hasn't.
No. And he was brought in as that sort of three-point shooter, and that's kind of what, you know, Trey Murphy is, and now B.I.'s getting a couple of threes here and there. CJ is as well.
We're kind of spreading
it around. Yeah, and even Herb. Herb is good from the three-point line.
Yeah, he made a couple last night. Each of the rookies each made a couple threes last night.
Well, they've all contributed in both games, the three rookies, haven't they? They've all had, I mean, and again, they were on the court to end the game last night. It's like Willie's decided that they're the closers.
Yeah, and their confidence is just growing. I mean, the increase in confidence for Murphy from now to just 2 months ago is astonishing.
Yeah. See, he was at the G League, wasn't he?
For a little bit, yeah.
Wasn't Jackson Hayes at the G League a bit this year? Was it last year?
I think they sent him down like a game or two this year.
Yeah. And now you see what they're doing. But
I mean, Jackson Hayes is never going to be your main focal point for your offense, is he? But he played a really important role last night. That run in the third quarter where they basically just played on the fast break, didn't they?
That was the one Booker hurt himself,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I read somebody saying it was like watching a cornerback chasing a 6'10 Randy Moss.
But, like, that's what you want from Hayes. You want that athletic, explosive plays, don't you? That's what he is. He's a highlight reel guy, isn't it?
Well, especially since he doesn't really have any post-up moves yet. If he had a post-up move, it'd be different because especially, I mean, Phoenix was they had Booker on him. You know, they were putting a small guy on Hayes a lot. And if he had any kind of legit post-up moves, it'd be an easy thing to just post him up. He's got such a height advantage. And the one thing you saw, even before he had a lot of those dunks and the fast breaks, he was very active on the rebounding. That's another thing the Pelicans did really well last night.
Yeah.
He was in the rebounding category. A lot of offensive rebounds continued to just crash the glass. So to see him active, and that was something you saw in the first quarter, is just you could see they were more active. They were more prepared in game two than they were in game one.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about Jackson Hayes. This offseason, he has got to develop a post-up move, because if he develops a post-up move to go with what he can already do, with what the Pelicans are going to be getting back this summer, the possibilities are endless.
That's it. We keep saying this every week. This team is in such a good position to go forward. And like, we all never really expected anything from this series. We all thought we'd get a game. We'll get a game or two. But now there's a slight possibility. Just a slight. I'm not sure we will, but just a slight that we could do it.
Right. So I'm going to call it now. The Pels are winning the series if Booker doesn't play another game. I mean, he's not going to play in the next two games, is he? They've kind of said that.
Right, he's doubtful, isn't he?
Yeah. So you take his points out of the equation. Why can't the Pels win the next two games?
Maybe a certain big man comes back.
No, I know. Zion's not playing in this series.
Probably not this series. No, I mean, the reason why the Pelicans would not win the series is if the shots just don't start to not fall. Because that has been one of their issues when they lose is that, like, because last night they shot over 50% from three. That was one of their best shooting three-point nights of the season. Usually they shoot around 30%, if that. So that's the hope. You can't have them go back to their shitty shooting ways.
Right. And they are an experienced team, Phoenix. They do know what it is. They do know how to win playoff series. They actually have got a winning record when Booker has been out this season. So it's not like they haven't been here before without Booker. They have been here before. So
I can see why Booker didn't play in the game after the All-Star break, did he? Or was it Chris Paul that didn't play in that game?
Chris Paul didn't play.
Yeah, Chris Paul missed it.
Right. Okay.
But once again, without Chris Paul, they've still got winning records. So they are
they're a good team. But the Pels are a good team.
Yeah, absolutely.
But one big thing about not having Booker, especially here, I feel like he always plays well here because he's got the local connection. He's from here. Yeah. He's always got a family contingent here, and I feel like he always kills us down here.
Is he from New Orleans? Is he?
Yeah. He's from the non-basketball city. doesn't produce many good basketball players.
Yeah, maybe I'm getting carried away, but I don't see any reason why the Pels can't be 3-1 up after Sunday. Now, this may come back to bite me on the ass next time we record, but there's no reason why the Pels can't be 3-1 up.
I just really want the Mavs in a series because I just want to fucking just throw it in Wesley's face. He won't be listening to this.
Yeah, so he actually he's not from New Orleans. He's from Gulfport, so he's right there over in Mississippi.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So
it's near a city, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's close. So that's why.
It's like they would say James is from Manchester, when you're not really Manchester. You're close enough.
I've been to Gulfport. I know how close it is.
But I guess the one thing on Phoenix's side too is, you know, maybe they rally around not having Booker. They become a little more focused, especially it seemed like their transition defense is what got him killed last night. So, you know, they're going to work on improving that coming into game three. So it's all about adjustments.
Yeah, they've got a good coach and good players. Mm-hmm.
It's obviously going to be easier for us to win without having to face Booker for games three and four. So I
think the Pels are going to win the series, right? Jason, are you expecting to be in the Smoothie King Center next Thursday night? I think that's got to be fairly good odds on that happening now, right?
Yeah, because as much as I'd like to see, Pels are winning five, that's probably not going to happen. So, yeah, I think there's no way around me not, yeah. I think it's a given I'll be there and not on the draft show. So.
I mean, you'd have taken this series going to at least a game six before it started, wouldn't you?
100%. 100%.
You know, I think I said it on the last show. We're playing with house money now. Whatever happens from now on is brilliant. Even if we now lose the next three games and go out 4-1.
Yeah, that's why I was so intense when I was watching the two play-in games, because to me, those are the must wins. You had to get in, had to give them the chance to get in. Now, going up against the best team, I didn't expect to win anyway, but now that you're saying there's a chance, oh man, I just don't want my heart to get, you know, like now I'm, because we're in this position, I'm kind of not really expecting to win the series still, and Phoenix is still so good, but
like we are the bottom seed, but there's not that much difference. Like obviously they're a better team, but then the golfing quality is not what the media has been saying the golfing quality is between the Pelicans and the Suns.
Well, because everybody points into the record, and sure, the record, but if you get rid of the first, you know, when we were 3-16, wipe that out, and we're an above 500 team.
What's our record since the All-Star break?
Well, I know since our awful start, we were like 30 and 28. Now that was heading into the play-in. So just add, you know, a few more wins. So we were above 500.
Yeah.
Since the All-Star break, we are both on offense and defense in the top 10. Eighth in offense, 10th in defense.
That's when you got to start judging this team is since the All-Star break for me.
Yeah, we're top 10 on both sides and an above 500 team. So yeah, we're a definite playoff team. I mean, they're at this point, I'd say we're better than Denver. I know Denver's kind of beating us with Jokic, but they have Jokic and nobody else. I'd consider us a better team than them right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I said this is us. It's so good. And so, have you got what's your preparations for the game on Friday?
Oh man, so I have a long day. That's the day where I'm going to the Zurich at probably 7:30 in the morning. I'll be there for a few hours watching some of the big groups in the morning. Scottie Scheffler and Shoffley and Cantlay. And
isn't Scottie Scheffler playing the pro-am today with Peyton?
Norm Peyton, yeah.
We've got to stop talking about him.
I agree.
He's around a lot.
Well, because he still lives here. He's not going anywhere. But of course, the media's going to ask. And usually,
He was at game one as well in Phoenix.
Yeah, he was. I'll be at the Zurich for a few hours. Then I have to play in a tournament at 12:30, and then I'll come home, shower, and walk right out the door. I texted Courtney. The arena better make sure they have enough Red Bull and vodka for Friday. And he's like, how funny. I'm like, it's funny, but I'm also half serious.
Yeah. You don't want all these people to just turn up for a playoff game when you've been there, like I said before, a long suffering fan.
Right. I definitely want my two free Red Bull cocktails before going to
you deserve it. You deserve it. And yep. Like I said, it's going to be a sellout. It's not going to be like Wesley was trying to make fun. There's going to be a big section of Spurs fans, Suns fans.
Fucking Dallas fan. Fuck Dallas.
Yeah, well, I say he lives in Texas, doesn't he? What you expect?
Right. You know, that's who we would play in round two. The winner of Dallas and
That's
So we're playing the Jazz then.
And, right.
So
we're
playing
Utah.
The Jazz then. So yeah. Playing the Jazz then. Yeah.
That's the hope, yeah.
Yeah, I get why he's got such a hookup back to the Pelicans, but
because he's not a Pelicans fan. Annoying me more and more because I know he's not a fan anyway. So shut the fuck up about it. Don't even talk about it. Yeah. Concerned, don't even talk about the Pelicans.
Let's talk about the presence of Mrs. B, because I love seeing the videos of her just in the back of the locker room with all these videos. I think her presence around the team is something I don't think we've never seen Tom Benson do. Like, I love it. I absolutely love it, her being there and being a part of it.
I definitely feel like, now granted, by the time Benson bought him, he didn't have that much longer.
He couldn't stand up, yeah.
For this world, but I felt like he never was really into owning them. He just did it because, well, he had the money and it's probably going to be a sound investment, but I feel like he didn't really care about
winning.
Owning the team like she does, because this is kind of her baby.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? You know, it's almost she's taking it on as her responsibility to turn the franchise around. You know, Tom Benson did it for the Saints; she's going to do it for the Pelicans, and it's working so far.
Well, they've got the culture reset coach, and he had a fantastic game in Game 2. I thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing, too. Just everything that's happening just goes back to what a home run hire Willie Green was and how important it is to get that guy in.
Yeah, it's just,
It's a great time. It's a great time to be a Pelicans fan.
And yeah, like exactly. I said, like you said before we started recording, this weekend in the city is going to be pretty unique.
It's going to be mad.
French Quarter Fest, two Pelicans home playoff games.
Right, you got the Zurich French Quarter Fest, Pels game, two Pels games. Yeah, and you know, it's gonna be wild. It's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be funny. I really, really hope that Sky Sports over here decide to pick our game as the playoff game for them.
Yeah, neither of the playoff games have been shown so far, and it's been a bit frustrating. But I think they'll show the one on Friday night. I really do.
They have to after, or they're going to say, "Oh, no, Booker, they're not going to do it." I don't know. Just
media. Nobody cares about the Pelicans except for us.
Yeah, exactly. And long may that continue, because like I love being the underdog. It's
great. And I saw Moscona tweeted something about it, comparing, you know, being able to watch your team go through the growth process is more rewarding than watching a team just, you know, put together a big, you know, trade for superstars and put together a big three, just kind of shortcut competitive. Whereas, you know, you're watching the growth and maturity of a team, and you're pulling along for the underdog as they kind of take the steps to get better and to improve. It's more rewarding as a fan.
Yeah, the game's not on over here.
It's not brilliant.
Nope. They are showing the Bucks versus the Bears. Not Bears, the Bulls.
Bears? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. They're showing. That's frustrating.
Yeah, you're all going to be stuck with highlights, but hopefully there'll be plenty of highlights.
Okay. And then when do we play again? We play on the...
And then we play Sunday. We play Friday and Sunday. I think the Sunday game is...
Same time, isn't it? 8:30?
Yeah.
Because it's a Western, because it's in the Western Conference, the games are always going to be the late games, aren't they?
Late games.
It sucks. I know. I think I'm on... What am I on? 6.5 hours of sleep.
Oh, no, they're not showing that one either for us.
Welcome to September to January, UK Saints fan style.
Like, this is ridiculous.
Like, the draft next Thursday starts at, what, midnight for us?
Yeah.
1 o'clock in the morning? I'm going to bed when it's daylight. That's how insane that is.
I'm getting a flight, man.
I'm also going to be going to bed very, very drunk, I hope.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, though. Because the draft does usually last for 5 hours. There's a chance that the Pelicans game is over, and then I can hop on at the end when y'all have probably hung up because the Saints aren't trading anymore.
We've traded back to the end of the first round. You might get that pick.
I mean, you do have to stay up until the 32nd pick. You never
know what the Saints... Oh, yeah, no, you got to wait till the end. You got to wait till the end.
So there is a chance.
I should be able to wait for it, hopefully.
Yeah, there's a chance I could be calling you guys after the game.
Yeah. We'll see.
Anyway, has anyone got any final thoughts before we move on to the home series?
I've just called it. Pelicans are going to win the series. There you go. That's my final thought.
I cannot wait to see. As crazy as the blender was for the play-in game, I cannot wait to see it on Friday.
I think if we win on Friday, then I think anything's possible. I think anything's possible if we win on Friday. So, right,
when,
I think that's...
When we win on Friday.
Sorry, Jane. Yeah, sad. Right, so that's all the show we have for you right now. I want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network. Be able to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including this one, The Pelican Plunge, the Dome Patrol main show, and that includes the 2-Point Conversion, the Instant Reaction Show, and the Tiger's Den. You can follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. And you can follow us on Facebook to watch live stream events such as the draft coming up next week. That'll be a fun one. It also might turn into a slight Pelicans podcast. We'll have a look. We'll see. I know me and James will be giving an eye on that during the draft. If you want to participate in our game day chat, you can DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. Once again, that is all free of charge. We are about creating a community instead of profit. Even though profit wouldn't be bad, but community is more important. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dad, come.
Say bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, getting swept, donkeys.